Good morning, and welcome back to the KGNC Agribusiness News Hour. I'm your host, Shannon Gray, and this morning we are doing our Creep Beat interview, and we're doing that today with Dr. Lewis Baumhart. He's a soil scientist with USDA's ARS lab out in Bushland. And Dr. Baumhart, thanks for visiting with me this morning.
Well, thanks for having me, Shannon.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. I've spoken with so many people from the ARS lab out there. Great folks. Y'all are doing some really amazing things for our ag producers. And today we're going to be talking about a little bit of a different topic. We're going to be talking about growing cotton in Kansas. From my understanding, it can be cooler in Kansas than Amarillo. So I was really kind of wondering, would cotton mature a good crop in a place like Kansas? It's probably no secret that they grow a lot of really great irrigated corn in that state, but why the interest in cotton?
Well, you're spot on about the irrigated corn in Kansas, Shannon. And just like the producers around Amarillo, the Kansas producers are dealing with a declining Ogallala aquifer. They have different rules for pumping irrigation water, and that led to groundwater management districts there in Kansas. Now, those guys requested the Kansas Geological Survey to estimate the pumping limits for sustainable irrigation, where you don't run out of water. And what the Kansas Geological Survey was finding is that you have about a third less of their pumping capacity than they're already using. And that translates to fewer acres of corn that can be fully irrigated.
Okay, so I guess basically that means that cotton is a good alternative crop because it needs less water to be profitable. I'm curious then, though, when we talk about cotton, I hear the word heat units a lot, and cotton needs more of those. So, how exactly does that work?
Yes, Shannon, cotton gets by on less water, and with enough heat units makes a profit. Heat units are calculated from the average maximum and minimum air temperature minus a base temperature that we use 60 degrees. Now, our recent days here in Amarillo with 95 degree highs, 65 degree lows, will average 80 degrees. And if you subtract off the 60, you get 20 heat units. Adding those heat units, those daily heat units through the growing season, you can use that number to predict your plant growth. For instance, it takes 450 heat units about to after emergence to get to the flower buds. 850 heat units to your first flower. 1700 heat units to open their first bowl. And every 50 heat units after that, you get another bowl or about 100 pounds of lint. Now, with cotton, after that first flower, you've got four bowls underneath it or below it that are almost mature. And so that's your first bale. And for every 250 heat units after that, you get another bale. So 2,200 heat units will generate three bales if everything else went well.
All right. Yeah. So, Dr. Baumhart, I understand the heat units, but I'm curious, are there management techniques that can help producers get more heat units?
Yeah, now the heat units are what they are, Shannon. But the better management improves their use. Now, we tried to plant cotton when the 10-day average soil temperature at 4 inches depth is 60 degrees, which I found out from a friend in Cotton Incorporated was 60 degrees less than what they recommend, or it was 5 degrees less than what they recommend. Recently, I used a computer crop simulator to calculate yields of cotton planted at Garden City Tribune in Colby, Kansas, over 3 different days that were a week apart. Then I used irrigation at 3 application rates and for 4 period lengths. Now, it's no surprise that the earlier planted cotton did the best. but the higher rate irrigation over longer periods didn't generally increase yield, or didn't always increase yield.
Okay, so along with that, you know, as I mentioned, I hear a lot of people talk about heat units with cotton. I also hear them talk a lot about residues. So how do residues help cotton production?
Well, as it turns out, Shannon, when cotton is planted in no-till wheat stubble, the seedling cotton are protected, you know, by the straw that's standing on either side of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that protected cotton starts growing more vigorously than the cotton that's just emerging from clean tillage. So you take advantage of every available heat unit to mature your bolls. You're going to probably have to combine the small benefits like residue to protect seedlings or the residue to kind of decrease evaporation of soil water that the cotton can then use.
All right. Wonderful. Yeah, you've definitely given us a lot of information today, and I really appreciate you taking the time to visit with me this morning. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Shannon. It's been my privilege.
Oh, thanks so much. That, again, is Lewis Baumhart, Dr. Lewis Baumhart, to be exact. He's a soil scientist with USDA's ARS lab there in Bushland. Great information on, you know, how cotton, heck, cotton's even been moving north in the Texas Panhandle. It is cooler in Kansas, so it's good to know that there are management techniques that make that possible. For KGNC Agribusiness News, I'm Shannon Gray.